Thank you, Holly. Appreciate that. And thank you, Joe, and the rest of the band for your leading us. Really appreciate that. And thank you, too, for those of you who shared your testimonies this morning. That's been a real blessing, hasn't it? Really just so good to hear what the Lord Jesus is doing in our lives. And that fitted in. I was so pleased, in a way, because that fits in so well with what I want to share with you, which really has to do, and Rebecca set the tone right at the beginning, it has to do with our lives and how our lives engage with other lives and other people around us, and how our lives reflect the life of Jesus, whether it's at work, whether it's through difficult circumstances, whether it's simply in the interaction that we have with people around us. So I really appreciate it, because I know it's not easy to get up and share like that. Thank you. It's good to know that Jesus is at work. When I thought about sharing with you this morning and what the Lord wanted to say, I just had the thought about yeast come into my head. Now, I don't know very much about yeast, so I Googled it. That's what you do these days, don't you? You Google it and see what yeast is all about. So the title I have for you is simply this: A Little Yeast Goes a Long Way. A little yeast goes a long way. And I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 13. If you have a Bible, and you know, a real one or one of those digital things, you might like to look to Matthew chapter 13. And I've got it wrong on my notes. It's actually verse 33. Verse 33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. A little yeast goes a long way. I discovered that yeast is a living organism. It's alive. Well, that's fun, isn't it? I don't know where the little tin of dried yeast that Doreen has is still alive, but it is, in effect, a living organism. It's alive. Second thing I discovered, it's related to the fungus family. So how about that? And the third thing I discovered, it has 1,500 different types of yeast have been recognized. It has been used for baking and brewing for thousands of years. And for those of you with a technical frame of mind, if you wonder what happens, it converts carbohydrates into carbon dioxide, which sounds to me like one bad thing into another bad thing. You know? That presumably is what blows the loaf up, you know. And the last thing is that a small amount of yeast has a significant effect. So in this little parable, Jesus uses yeast and its effect as an illustration, as a way of showing us how God's kingdom works. It's one of a number of parables in this chapter where Matthew brings together a whole number of parables that Jesus used, no doubt on various different occasions. Matthew brings them together and they all begin, the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like this. Or like that. Was that you or me, David? All right. It was a yeasty noise, wasn't it? It went a long way. And in this little parable, Jesus demonstrates with this simple illustration which had been very, very familiar to the people who were listening to him, how a little kingdom goes a long way. A little kingdom goes a long way. When it's God who fights our battles, when it's Jesus who's in the midst of our circumstances and our situations, when we release things to him and it's his kingdom that works first in us and then through us, and we become yeast, as it were, ourselves. We become the agents of life and change ourselves in those circumstances. That's what Jesus is talking about. He said, this is how the kingdom works. You only need to let it in. You only need a little understanding of it. A little kingdom is going to go a long way. Just as yeast works through its influence, infiltrating, permeating the lump of dough, that's how the kingdom works. It works through its influence as it infiltrates, as it permeates every part of our lives, whether it's our work situation, family situation, health situation, circumstances to do with our future, or all those things that make up life around us, both the negative and the positive things that shape us and make us who we are and take us on in our walk with Jesus towards maturity in him. That's how it works. The kingdom infiltrating, permeating, reaching through the whole lump of dough, whether that lump of dough is my individual life, my life with my family, my life in the community, wherever I am, then that yeast, the kingdom yeast, is working through me. You know, if we can get hold of that, it can make such a big difference to the confidence with which we live. Doesn't mean to say that we're hammering Jesus to everybody that we meet or things like that. It simply means that we're consciously carrying the presence of the Lord Jesus wherever and however we are, and wherever we are, we're carrying the presence of Jesus. Because we have become ourselves, once we become citizens of the kingdom, we become like the yeast ourselves into the rest of society. Do you want us to change our approach, Dave? No? Yeah. It'll probably be... All right. I don't like using these things. They remind me of trying to suck an ice lolly or something. So as the kingdom, as the way God does things, that's really what the kingdom is about. We could describe it as God's reign or God's rule, God kinging it over our lives. What it comes down to is doing things God's way. Then the kingdom is at work in us as we allow God to work through us and out from us into the world around us. So the kingdom has to do with our values, the values we live by, the things that are important to us. It is expressed through our attitudes, the attitudes we have to people around us, the people that are awkward to get on with, the people who maybe say bad things against us, the people who misrepresent us or misunderstand us, the way we respond, the attitudes that we have. The yeast of the kingdom shows through our character, where we allow the Holy Spirit to point out to us sometimes the things that are grating, the things that are not working, the things that are not enabling us to interact with our brothers and sisters or with the people around us. It is shown through our responses to situations and to people. It's shown through our relationships in our families, in our workplace. You know, that's what I'm just trying to say to you, simply, I hope. The kingdom infiltrates into every possible area of our lives. And as it does, like the yeast, it begins to influence
the world around us. Without yeast, the bread is flat and dense. And I don't particularly want to go through my life being flat and dense. But with yeast, the dough expands. It becomes lighter and easier to digest. I'd rather be easier to digest, wouldn't you, to people around me? I feel somehow that would kind of make, if I'm a bit gristly and a bit hard and I'm not sure they're going to get on with me so well. Now, one very significant aspect of our lives as citizens of the kingdom of God is prayer. And I know you've just been going through, what was it Mike said last week, 91 days of prayer by the time you put it all together. But you've had some really good sessions talking about and experiencing prayer over these weeks. And I'm not saying this morning because I just want to add another one, but because I felt the Lord wanted to say something to perhaps just sort of draw all of that you've learned, all that you've heard, and experienced perhaps in fresh ways in prayer over the past weeks. Prayer is the communication channel between the kingdom of God in the heavenly realm and the kingdom of God in the earthly realm. You got that? It's the communication channel between the kingdom of God in the heavenly realm and the kingdom of God in the earthly realm, which resides, which is in us. As we live out our life as citizens of the heavenly kingdom, we demonstrate, we become the kingdom of God on the earth. That's why Jesus talked about seeking first the kingdom of God, making it your priority, and everything else will fit into place. Everything else will come into perspective when we make living out and being the yeast in the lump in our lives, we make that our priority. Through prayer, we share our thoughts and our hopes. We share our need for direction, our need for purpose, and our understanding of the King's plans, our King's plans. And through prayer, we listen for the King's guidance and encouragement. It's too easy to forget that, isn't it? You think, prayer, I'm going to pray. Boom, 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 amen. And that's it. Whoa, no. That's actually only half it. For the other half is stopping and listening. I've had my say. So otherwise, it's a bit of a one-sided conversation, isn't it? I just bend God's ear. Don't give him a chance to bend mine. Maybe, perhaps, it's because we're not sure we want to hear what he has to say. I hope not. Because part of prayer is pausing long enough to listen. Because it's a two-way communication between the heavenly dimension of the kingdom and the earthly dimension of the kingdom. We listen for the King's guidance and the King's encouragement. So I want to look at this little parable for a few minutes from a slightly different light. And that is, and I'm sure it's okay because I'm sure the Holy Spirit put this on my heart, prayer is like yeast. Prayer is like yeast. Like yeast, prayer isn't something dead. It isn't just a routine. It isn't just an obligation to be fulfilled. Not just a ritual to be repeated daily. But like yeast, prayer is life imparting. It puts us in touch with the life of heaven. Which is why when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what did he say? How do you begin your prayer? As according to Jesus' teaching. Our Father in heaven. We start by that recognition of who he is. It puts us in touch with the life of heaven. Our Father in the heavens. What?
down here? Okay, thank you. All right, you can stop being an ice lolly and be something down here. And like yeast, prayer effects change. It effects change in us, and it effects change in the people and situations we pray about. Now, the difficult part about that is that we don't always see the result straight away. Indeed, we may only ever see the results later or never. The thing is, when we pray, we bring earth and heaven into conjunction, into communication. And whether we see it now, later, or never, our faith is that something changes. Because we have linked heaven and earth together, and in consequence, the life of heaven flows into the life of earth, and that means things change, whether we see it or not. Sometimes it's hard to press on in faith when we don't see the results. And I, you know, don't misunderstand me, but I wonder sometimes whether, you know, we think of prayer as something that we strive at and then we can tick off that one's answered. And whether God answers our prayer is not the issue. If God is God and He is our Father, He answers our prayer. But it may be in a way that we don't see. Because our prayers are touching all kinds of things over which we have no immediate control. But as we give them to God, we're giving them to someone who does have control. Does that make some sense to you? So I'm just trying to encourage you too. Some of the folk shared their testimonies, so praying and seeing things happen. That's great. But can we press on in the same faith and in the same confidence even when we don't see? Because we believe that prayer is like yeast. It has an effect, whether we see it or whether we don't. Like yeast, prayer affects change. Prayer releases a spiritual dynamic into earthly life. Do you remember the story of Daniel? And in the 10th chapter of Daniel, where Daniel has been praying for 3 weeks because he's really felt on his heart to pray for his people, to pray for an end to the exile, to pray for God to bring renewal and revival to his people in exile and restore them. And for 3 weeks he's been praying. And then one day he's still praying and an angel comes. And this angel, who's a splendid, resplendent figure, says to him, look, actually, I started out to bring you the answer to your prayer on the first day. And to Daniel's credit, he didn't say, what? You mean I have to continue fasting and praying? No, he listened, because this was a pretty scary figure anyway, if you read the account. He said, but I got delayed by the prince of Persia. Now, it's got not get into all the spiritual dynamics of that, but it says, there was a battle going on in the spiritual realms that meant I couldn't come to you, Daniel, immediately to give you the response to your heart's cry. And when we pray, we become involved in dynamics that lie way beyond what we can sometimes grasp or understand or take control over. And you'll notice it wasn't Daniel who fought against the prince of Persia. Daniel kept praying to God for God to respond. And the battle was going on in the spiritual realm. We had the touch of that, didn't we, in that new and very repetitive song. In Revelation chapter 8, there's a picture of an angel holding a bowl of incense. And this incense is burning and the smoke is going up to the heavenly throne. And John comments, or the angel revealing things to John says, that incense is the carrying the prayers of the saints. It's carrying the prayers of the prayers of the saints are like incense going up into God's presence. And do you know what happens next? Tony knows what happens next. He's nodding. There's thunder. The power of God is released upon the earth. Now, do we believe that? That's kind of, I suppose, the challenge to my own heart and the challenge to your heart this morning. Can we believe that? Can we believe that when we send up our praise and our prayer, it's like incense to God and it does something, it affects change, and it means the power of God is released into our world. You see, I believe prayer has an effect whether we see it or not. In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about the Spirit interceding for us. When sometimes we don't even know how to articulate our prayers, how to articulate the pain or the longing that is within us, then the Holy Spirit takes and interprets that to the heart of God. It's a process again that we can't see, but we say, I believe. I believe something happens when I'm praying. I believe even when I groan, even when I can't really articulate, or I use the gift of tongues to articulate that longing and that desire that's in me, the Spirit is working. There's change taking place in the spiritual arenas. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be accomplished, as in heaven, so on earth. Our prayers release the will of God to be fulfilled on earth. But it is his will, not ours. Right? Sometimes we, I think, misinterpret that or misunderstand that, and we think, I would like this to happen, therefore I will pray. God will answer my prayer, and what I want to happen will happen. No. What he wants to happen will happen. Now, fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit can interpret the longing of our hearts, even when we perhaps express it in a way that is locked into what we would like to see happen. And that's why Jesus tells us to pray, your will be done. Not as I will, said the Lord Jesus himself in the midst of his most painful and anguished crisis in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. And that's the kind of underlying attitude that we must have within our prayers. There are things we'd like to happen. There are things we would love to see, but we have to bring them to God with an attitude, with a sense that says, but your will be done. So the better we understand the heart of God, the more we will recognize how God can move. Prayer isn't about getting results or about getting answers. It's aligning ourselves with the purposes of our Father in the heavens. Dawn and I are very fortunate, if that's the right word, with our four children. Each of them is following the Lord and fulfilling his plans in their lives. But now we're praying for our grandchildren. We're praying for our grandchildren. And that's not proving to be quite as straightforward. They live in a rather different world, I think. So we pray regularly, every day. We pray for our grandchildren, each one of them by name. But within that we pray, and Lord, will you guide their lives? Will you bring about your plans, bring about your purposes for these young people? And those that are off going up off in this direction and that, will you put borders as to where they can go, that they don't wander off to harm? You see, what we desperately want is to see our grandchildren come and give their lives to Jesus. But we want that to be in God's timing and in God's way. Our prayers then bring about an interaction of heaven and earth beyond our understanding. Our prayers can have far greater effects than we realize. One of the most remarkable experiences I ever had in prayer, and it was a good number of years ago now, so I can't pretend it's something I live regularly in. Doreen was out at a prayer meeting at a church in Dunwich. We were down in Basingstoke many, many years ago. And I had the evening, the children were in bed, and I began to pray. I began to pray in tongues, which was an experience I'd only recently had. So I began to sort of experiment a bit and pray in tongues. And as I did so, I was overwhelmed with an immense sense of sadness. And I began to pray in that sadness. I began to pray out in tongues, to, if you like, articulate something in my spirit that I couldn't follow in my head. But as I prayed, I found that sadness began to lift. I began to walk around in the bedroom with a more confident step. Finally, actually, I was jumping up and down and singing out loud and absolutely happy. And then it kind of stopped. And I said, Lord, what was that? And all the Holy Spirit said to me is, you've been praying with a brother who's in prison in Eastern Europe. And I knew at that moment that somewhere across in Romania, because this was back in the communist era, a brother who'd been in prison had hit the bottom. He, you know, was despairing, sad. And somehow my prayers had gone up and down, up to the heavenlies, down into the earthly realm, and brought him through that crisis. I felt out of that huge sense of privilege. And I know that some of you who move in intercession, you're used to those kind of experiences. It was unusual for me, but it taught me a great deal about what happens when we pray. Like yeast, prayer can permeate our lives as it opens that channel of communication with the heavenly realms and enables us to speak from our hearts, but also to listen for the heartbeat of God. So the call comes to us not just to pray, but to become a praying people. Some of you will remember how a couple of months ago now I was with you and I shared with you how I felt the Lord had given me a picture of David's sling stone, which would be about that size. It wasn't a little pebble. It wasn't one little stone that child's song was about. It was about the size of a cricket ball, weighs about a pound, and went through the air at anything up to 100 miles an hour, depending on the skill and strength of the slinger. And those slingers could be incredibly accurate. So if you want to test what being clonked in the head with this going at 70 or 80 miles an hour, I'd suggest it's probably best not to. But I suggested to you, I think the Lord had put something on my heart at that time for you, that this, it was like the first stone that David picked up. He picked up five, and we may get a chance to talk about the other four, so I think I know what they are as well, but he only needed that one. Not because the others weren't important, he might well have needed those under other circumstances. And I felt the Lord say, I know you pray. Individually you pray. You have various prayer gatherings, prayer meetings. But to become a praying people is to be a people who carry the yeast of prayer into our everyday lives at every point, every circumstance, every situation in which we find ourselves. Like yeast working through the dough. You're going to be hearing Neil and myself and others in the coming weeks using the word culture quite a bit for you, because we believe the Holy Spirit has brought us to a time when we have to look at changing our culture. And one of the things I want to see, I want to suggest to you that is part of that process of changing culture is a culture of prayer. Like yeast in the dough. Prayer permeating, influencing, and infiltrating every prayer, every part of our lives. Our individual lives. Husbands and wives praying together, perhaps in a new way. Families praying together. Family groups, which is something we're in the process of looking at to increase the number of small groups so that every one of you can be part of a small group. And one of the dynamics of those small groups, family groups, we're going to call them, those groups will be prayer. Mission teams praying, not just planning. Elders and leaders praying, not just going through agendas. I can say that because I'm sitting with the leaders and elders in various ways at the moment. Prayer permeating every aspect of our life as a church. Prayer permeating every aspect of our individual lives. Prayer is like yeast. It's alive. And it has an effect. It can be all sorts of different kinds, but it still has its effect. Let me finish just reading a few, three verses from different parts of Paul's letters in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all time and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, keep on praying no matter what happens. Always be thankful. I want us to become opportunist prayers. Praying at every opportunity. I had a little challenge, and I've challenged myself. I was walking through the Bridges, the shopping center in Sunderland, the other day. I normally do that sort of like this, you know, because I dislike shopping centers. Don't feel at home in them at all. And I'm walking through there, and I'm aware that the O2 shop, my phone, I'm on O2, good or bad, and I'm on a pay-as-you-go tariff because I don't use it enough to pay out more than I really need. So I'm on a pay-as-you-go. And as I'm walking through there, suddenly the thought comes to me, pray as you go. So I'm now going through the Bridges, head up, and I'm looking at people. And in a minute, I may see somebody and say, Lord, will you just bless that person? Or will you work in that? I don't know who they are from Adam. But I'm challenging myself now with this little thing. Pray as you go. Prayed for a couple of other drivers this morning. And it wasn't, you know, Lord, deal with them. Maybe I should pray for myself and my driving too. Okay, are you up for the challenge? As I'm challenging myself, you know, pray as you go. Don't just put it aside for the special moments and times. Let's be alert. Let's pray at all times. So let's pray now, shall we? Let's take the opportunity and pray. Father, we want to thank you for our time sharing together today. Thank you for the testimonies that we have heard. Thank you for the opportunity to sing our praise and our worship to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are at work in our hearts and lives. And we ask you now, by your Holy Spirit, to continue that work. And Holy Spirit, will you help us to become a praying people? Will you help us to be opportunist prayers, to pray as we go in all and every aspect of our lives, that our lives might be like yeast. Your kingdom flowing through us, infiltrating, influencing the world in which we live. For Jesus. Because we ask it in his name.